and welcome to members of the public government, senior staff and councillors.
Welcome to our ordinary council meeting for the month of November. I'd like to start by acknowledging the Palawapakana Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and brought our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 2 is attendance and all councillors are present. Item 3 is application for leave of absence. There are no requirement. Councillor Irons is not here this evening. Has sent in an apology. Someone prepared to move. Moved by Councillor Owen and second by Councillor Murta. I'll put that leave of absence be approved. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4 is confirmation of minutes, and item 4.1 is confirmation of minutes of the ordinary council meeting on the 17th of October. Is there any questions or amendments or any comments in regards to those minutes? If not, can I ask someone to move? Moved by Councillor McMaster, second by Councillor Geard. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.2 is a community development committee. And confirmation of minutes of the meeting held on the 7th of November. They're on pages 79 to 85 of our attachments. Moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Della Torre. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.3 is the Finance Committee, and the minutes of the Finance Committee of the 7th of November are on pages 86 to 92 of our attachments. Once again, any questions or amendments? If not, I'll ask someone to move. Moved by Councillor Della Torre, second by Councillor Curran. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.4 is the Planning Authority. And the minutes of the Planning Authority held on the 7th of November and on pages 46 to 78 of our attachments. Any questions or amendments?
No.
If not, can I have someone move? Moved by Councillor Geard. Second by Councillor Della Torre. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 5 is declaration of interest. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015, the chairperson of a meeting is to request councillors to indicate whether they have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest or a conflict of interest in any item on the agenda.
Yes, I have an interest. I can't find the item, but I do have an interest on the item.
Councillor Curran has declared an interest in item 14.1.
Thank you.
Anything further? That interest is noted. Thank you. Item 6 is public question time and deputations. And I will call on a lady from the gallery in a short period of time, but I'll just take leave to present some awards, if I may. We went to the local government conference in Devonport a few weeks ago, and what was recognised there was a recognition of service award, and three councillors from our council were lucky enough to receive an award for their length of service. I think it's a fantastic achievement for councillors to be not only elected once, but elected multiple times over many, many years. And I had the pleasure of being there with Councillor Owen Councillor Della Torre and Councillor McMaster to have people acknowledged in front of their peers in Devonport. And I thought I'd bring these certificates. Two of our councillors weren't present on the evening, but I thought I'd present these certificates for long service to them tonight as the next opportunity which I've had. And Councillor Curran, 27 and a half years of service she's given to this council, many as Deputy Mayor. Barb, congratulations.
Thank you.
And, to see someone achieve such
lengthy service, and it must mean surely that we're doing something right.
We hope.
We hope. Councillor Philip Bowen, 34 and a half years, I think.
That's
it
right.
Is.
Something like
that. Yes. Thank you. And, it's, as I've been on council for 17 years now, and I'm still learning, but and I've certainly learned many, many things off these individuals over the years. Some good, some bad, but it's been a pleasure working with them all. And last but not least, Peter Gibb, which is at 36 years as a councillor. So congratulations.
One thing I can say, I actually couldn't make it up there because I got my priorities right. I was myself and the engineer were running a fire for the local people in the Drummond area, so it was more important to make sure the people of our municipality are safe than me and getting something. But I thank you, Mr. Mayor, for collecting on this my behalf.
No, absolutely.
It's been a pleasure to serve this period of time, and I might have got a couple more years left yet before I sort of tip over, but I'll see you on that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for your, for allowing me to indulge. Continuing on with public question time and deputations, we have Cynthia Hetrick is and will address council from the back of the room. So, Cynthia, would you like to go for your life?
Yeah. We attended the meeting recently, a couple of weeks back, at the community hall there, for the continuing on from the last meeting, and there was a lot of tonight about the environmental survey. And in the course of reading the report on the website, I noticed that there is once again the planned walkway for north of the jetty is back on the agenda. So I'm wondering where, at what point north of the jetty is that walkway expected to start and to go to, given that this has been debated once before several years back. Number two, there's been surveyors recently behind properties on Orisby Road, Riverside, and up Blackstone Road on the Bush side, and we're wondering what those surveyors were doing feasibility studies of. Is there any information that you can give us about that?
Yep. As I indicated, we'll... I'll get the general manager to address your questions, and if he can answer them tonight, he certainly will.
Yeah,
if not, they will be on our agenda for the December council meeting, and there'll be a formal answer to those particular questions you've asked this evening. But I'll hand over to our general manager.
Yeah, I still have a copy of the proposed walkway map that was provided to us by the some 20 months ago,
yep.
18 months ago. I'm wondering if it's the same thing, because this also states it's a sand track on the foreshore. So is it on the foreshore or is it behind the houses?
Yeah. James?
Thanks, Cynthia. Yeah, as the Mayor mentioned, so the process is me giving a formal answer to the public question on the next agenda, but I'm happy to give an initial answer, and we can put that in tonight's minutes as well. So the council staff are doing feasibility work at the moment. So the whole section, they're basically doing it on the whole section from the East Derwent Highway at St Anne's right around to the jetty at Old Beach to look at the whole coastline. And so what we're doing there is basically looking at how feasible a track is and in all those sections, doing the initial work like flora and fauna studies, Aboriginal heritage, and of course looking at the practical elements of building a track. That's to give councillors enough information to basically have a workshop on the matter, to have all that information before them, to enable councillors to have a reasonable idea about how practical it is, what the costs might be, what the issues are, and to go to part of your question, which sections could be done, and if they are done, where would the track actually go? So I can't answer any of those specifics because that's the basic initial work that's been done just now. We haven't done consultation again because the first questions that should be asked are those sorts of questions that we can't answer without doing that basic work. So from here, a lot of that initial work has been done. I think they're still waiting on Aboriginal heritage work and pulling it all together. From there, the staff involved will provide a workshop with councillors, present all that information, go through the options, see what it looks like. From there, that'll give staff direction of what councillors' appetite is to develop those options further. If council decide to develop the options further, then part of that would be community consultation. We're hoping to hold that workshop with councillors either next month or January. It just depends when we get those last bits of information. So if it proceeds, there'd be consultation early next year. And that would be based on what councillors decide about where they want to go next year. So, yeah, I hope that answers your questions. We'll
it's food for thought, thank you. Yeah. What about the... because we've been down in Australia for several years, based on Twitter or Reg, and there was an issue of encroachment by residents because they've been maintaining land behind their properties for many, many years. Council at the time, in their wisdom, allowed parties to purchase said encroached land back then in trade parties, which a lot of them did, I believe. But you're going to be looking at similar sort of situation further along again as far as Morrissey Road is concerned. I doubtful as far as the Blackstone Road is concerned.
Yeah, look, I can't answer any of those specifics at this stage, but they are issues that... Oh, definitely, yeah, and they need to be considered in this early work, but if it progresses beyond this early work, there are obviously issues that need to be considered in more detail where they're relevant.
I guess from our perspective, a lot of the security issues, the consultation with the it's not about keeping out people from particular suburbs or anything like that. But our property itself, we have had numerous trailers in our yards with attempts to break in, not only at night, it's happened in the day. I've walked out of my house and my back veranda and had people in my backyard come along me, and they're fence hopping. So I'm concerned about easier access. I've had them come into my house, I've been robbed. So it's a security, for my personal aspect, it's a security concern. If people are out on the street, they've got to be visible of them.
Yes.
No.
And if I can say something as Mr. Cynthia. Listen, there's a lot of people, I'll just say a couple of things here, there's a lot of people on Normanby Road there that backing onto the water. Has anyone walked along Moresby Road from council on the back of the river?
Yeah, the whole section's been walked by the project planner.
There's bedrooms and bathrooms right up just about the water line, about 2 metres from the cliff, right? So here you are, you're looking at a feasibility study for a public walkway beside their bedroom or their bathroom, right? Someone needs to have a look there, and as well, the freehold from our place down to the jetty, the people own it down to the waterline. Okay? It's freehold. Alright? So, you won't be getting any assistance there. But what I'm saying to you is anyone walked, if any of these people lived in this situation, hang on, there's a walkway there, or the bathroom's here, or the bedroom. And this is the same problem we had last time, 3 or 4 years ago, that people, right, a bedroom, right, there's a walkway there. How would anyone in health feel if that was the case, if they lived there? And it's right to say, oh, we'll do feasibility studies and blah, 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 right? But if anyone walked down that, on the riverside of Moresby Road, either 26 down to 24, you'll see what I mean. The house is back, just about to the cliff. The cliff's falling away. We lost probably 3 metres since we've left it, right? So here you are, you're doing your feasibility study on a cliff that's collapsing. You've got people's bedrooms and bathrooms right beside this proposed feasibility. The cliff before it collapses in the river. right? And to me, it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, we'll continue this in the next couple of months.
Yeah, thank you. They're all things that we'll have to...
Very rigorously. Yeah, but someone needs to walk down there. It's all right saying feasibility, but somebody walk down there and you see how close these personal living spaces, right? You've got 4 metres in the cliff, right? So have a jubilee, your nice house, and you've got this person walking up and down on this public, whoever they're from, this public walkway, right? What outside your bedroom or your bathroom?
That's exactly why we're doing the work at the moment, to determine what the issues are.
It's all right, but it's just begun, but I'm telling you now, but it needs to clarify that, because this is the third time we've gone down this, and it'll be bigger than the last times, but as I said, when I say that, just a community backlash on this. Like last time we tried, right, we couldn't fit in here, and people out there, they were just had enough, because it was decided by council that we wouldn't split the community, so it didn't proceed, right? But somebody needs, it's right, feasibilities and surveyors and all this sort of thing, but someone walks down there, like Philip, if you walk down that whole pit?
Number of times.
Yeah.
Sorry?
All the way to the river.
The trouble is you can't get by just at the moment.
You can't get by. Why can't you get by?
I'll just call a halt to it there, please. Yep. It's public question time and deputation, not a question and answer session. Barry, we and Cynthia, we've got your questions.
Thank you.
We will certainly address them. The general manager's indicated he will reach out. And he'll give a formal, he's given some answers this evening. He'll also give a formal response on our next council agenda. And I'm certainly that our staff that are doing that feasibility study will be in contact with yourselves to have a discussion at some point.
That'd be
yeah, no dramas. Thank you. Is there any other public question time or deputations? If not, we'll move on. And item 7 is reports from councils, and item 7.1 is the Mayor communications for the last month. And they're presented on page 6 of our agenda. Is there any questions or any clarification that anyone needs in regards to any of those particular meetings?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, just the meeting in relation to the river transport options for Brighton LGA, obviously a pretty disappointing outcome. Just wondering how that's progressing.
We've had some, over the last month, we've had some really positive discussions with stakeholders in regards to ferry transport and the possibility of having a ferry service, particularly from either Bridgewater and Bridgewater and Old Beach. And it's pretty exciting, to tell you the truth, about the positivity from our community and from others in southern Tasmania in regards to ferry being used as a form of public transport from Bridgewater and Old Beach into the city of Hobart. We met with some consultants who reached out to us in regards to that and are offered their assistance, and we've got plenty of other support from the likes of Bob Clifford at INCAT, Point B, obviously a developer in our municipality who are very, very keen to assist us in regards to that. The Jetty Project have reached out as well. So we've got a lot of support, and obviously we've gone out with a little bit of media over the last week or two, just pushing that. As you said, it's very disappointing that the report came out without recommending that Bridgewater or Old Beach have a ferry terminal in the first and second wave of developments, and we're certainly pushing hard against the government to have them review that. It is only a draft report, so we have an opportunity to put submissions in, and we're obviously calling on our community, a bit of a call to arms, I suppose, to ensure that. I've reached out to every member of Lions, both obviously the one federal member and the 5 state members, and had conversations with them. And the Labor Party have put forward a notice of motion in Parliament in regards to calling on the government to take action and include Bridgewater and Old Beach in their future plans, which was positive. And we'll have further meetings with those stakeholders and others, and we're going to reach out to the government probably in about a week's time and see whether we can meet with them as well to put forward our case. Hopefully that works and we all, you know, have a ferry service at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. As I said in the media during the week, the silly thing is that we have an opportunity while the Bridgewater Bridge is being built and we're going to get a new jetty and a new boat ramp. Why not make it fit for purpose for a ferry service for the future? You know, it may not be a ferry service in 12 months, it might be in 2 years or it might be in 5 years. But if the infrastructure is there whilst the workforce is here doing heaps of other work and can put in something that is fit for purpose for the future, then it makes sense. Hopefully common sense comes to the fore and the government does consider what we're asking. But we'll keep fighting anyway.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Any other questions? If not, can I ask for someone move the communication to be received?
Second.
Thank you. Councillor Gearden, seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 7.2 is report from council representatives. Is there anyone who would like to make a report? Councillor Gearden?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As previously mentioned, I attended the Dromedary Community Fire thing for people in the Dromedary Church Road area to make them aware of the fire hazards there in conjunction with Callum here and also with the TAS Fire Service. I chaired the meeting. Callum sort of helped me and we helped out each other there. So it was a good night, 53 people. I'll leave it probably for you to later on to discuss what was going on, so I won't like you take your thunder away. The other thing I attended was the local coordinators, emergency coordinators meeting down at Sorrell just recently. That was quite a interesting. We had the fire service again from the community people there discussing things again. One thing that came up to the fore there is what they call a safer place. And the safer place could be an oval, but it's not really a safer place. I'm still pushing, and they actually, the fire service have agreed that they're going to call it a safer place of last resort, because you can be on an oval or a ground and you could still die of heat exhaustion or smoke inhalation. So it's your last resort. So they're going to maybe change the terminology in that. So that was a plus as well for that one. So there's quite a few other things come up, discussed there about the community centre. Like we've got the police, they're aware of that. So it diminishes our area. If we have it, we'll have to have a recovery centre, but we've got all the other ones can back us up. They also discussed there that to get more collaboration between all the councils to do with emergency management, which is really good. So at the moment we've been partners with Kimber and Hewland, but they're looking at a broader brush right through the, even to north, inviting them down if something goes wrong. So that was something interesting. And ditto the Hobart Fire Management Area Committee, which I'm the deputy chair on. We had a meeting down at Cambridge for that. Again, the safer place came up, so they've emphasised to that. And they came up with all the areas that they're trying to burn. They have a problem with a lot of the burn plans because come autumn, we have the grapes in certain areas, so they can't do any burning close to the grapes because the tinting with the smoke. Also, at the moment, spring, they've got a few pulled up at the moment because there's certain birds nesting in certain places and other animals, so that sort of stifles a bit of a thing there. So. The other one was, the last one, Jen Butler met with myself and the SCS people at Brighton to discuss the future of the unit there in the future. And also, I introduced her last night at the fire. She decided she would like to come and visit the fire station, so I introduced her to the members of the fire station, had a good talk with them there as well. So we just need to see the opposition there, but good luck for that.
Thanks, Peter. Any further reports? If not, can I ask someone that moves that Peter's report be received? Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 8 is miscellaneous correspondence. There's two letters that were included in your agenda. Interestingly, the Deputy Premier, Michael Ferguson, obviously sent us a letter apologising for sending a letter saying we told fibs. in regards to Back Tea Tree Road. There is a feasibility study. I believe that the tender will be let for that in the near future, and they will do a study on a freight route from Brighton, or the Midlands Highway in particular, on three different routes through to Cambridge. So that hopefully will start this year, and once that's been ticked off and the department has let us know that it's actually out and underway, we'll let you know as well. And obviously the letter from the Minister for Local Government, and that's all the correspondence that we received. James?
Yeah, I can just add to that. That freight route, the brief was finalised last week in consultation with Clarence, Sorrell and Brighton, and hopefully going out before Christmas.
Thank you. Item 9 is notification of council workshops, and there was one workshop held in the month of November, and councillors in attendance are listed on our agenda. Item 10 is notice of the motion. We have a notice of motion tonight from Councillor Della Torre. Item 10.1, enhancing transparency, audio recording of all council committee meetings. Councillor Della Torre, as per normal, I'll just get you to read out your motion. I'll ask for a seconder and then debate.
No problem.
Thank you.
So I move that council implement audio recording of all council committee meetings in addition to ordinary council meetings and planning authority meetings. Such recordings are to be made accessible to the public in the same manner as existing recordings, providing a more transparent and accountable record of our decision-making processes, and that changes to Policy 7.11, audio recording of council and planning authority meetings, be drafted so as to enact such changes across all council committee meetings for presentation to council at the December ordinary council meeting for endorsement.
Thank you, Councillor Della Torre. Councillors, you all clear on that particular motion?
I've just got a point of thing on that, Mr. Chair, Mr. The Audit Committee, that's going to be very awkward because it's finance. The GM's Review Committee, that's another one that's a thing. Also, I'm on the Regional Sporting Committee at Brighton, which is out of this area, it's not even here. And some things there that there's discussed there that we probably shouldn't be transferring.
That wouldn't be included.
And the other one there is the Emergency Management Committee, which we've got outside representatives from government departments on that one. Usually they find it's all finalised when we finish it and it's sent out, but I'd hate to see that we have to have that audit there and you're going to decipher what they're going to say, because they will pull back, because now on government officials they will not say things if it's recorded. So they're the only ones I had a problem with.
Thanks, Councillor Gidd. I'll ask the General Manager to address that particular question.
Otherwise I'm happy.
Yep. I think, subject to the discussion, I think we can address that in the changes to the policy, but I was under the assumption that we were talking environment, and heritage committee,
parks
community
and
development, finance, and obviously if it's
parks and rec.
If it's moved into closed, parks and rec. Yeah. If it's closed, then it's not recorded and put up.
Yep.
So audit panel, right. I saw as different, and general managers. Performance committee as well. Mm. So, if people have any views on that, you can either express them now or out of session. But that was my understanding, and we would amend the policy.
The main committees. Mm.
Yeah. Is there a way that we could amend that motion to make that clearer, Councillor Gidd?
Those ones I mentioned exempt. That's all. Yeah. But long as they report back here. As we have previously done.
Yeah, I think maybe
if we draft the policy, and if you want to amend it when it comes to the meeting next week, but we can capture it in that drafting if everyone's happy with that, and then if you want to amend it next time, it's either that or we can put in here now. We can specify the committees, but it might be.
I mean, it could be as simple as putting the regular council meetings held on the first Tuesday of every month. Simple. But
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Written.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The motion has been moved by Councillor Della Torre and seconded by Councillor Owen. Councillor Della Torre, have the floor.
Thank you. And I won't take too much time here. I have provided extensive background notes here as to the reason, but to me it's about transparency in our decision-making, making sure the community have access to the reasons for our decisions rather than just the decisions themselves in the minutes. It's about openness and being available to our community to explain our decision-making, and it's about accessibility for those that can't be here in the room at any particular time. I don't believe there's likely to be any cost impacts. The audio recording is already in use on both the first and third Tuesday of the month, and simply looking to extend those recordings to capture the other committee meetings which are held on those nights.
Thank you. Councillor Ong?
No, it's
speak. Does anyone wish to speak for or against? Councillor Whelan?
Mr Chairman, can I just probably have clarification on something? So we record our meetings. Do we also have a backup to that recording? Do we record by phone, or is there any other, like, if they're lost, we're lost to...
No, record it twice.
Okay. Yeah, there has been on one occasion that a recording has been lost, just to clarify, but only one in the...
Maybe two.
Yeah. Anything further?
No.
Do you like to close?
No need.
Thank you. Without further ado, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 11 is consideration of supplementary items on the agenda. And we do have a supplementary item on the agenda this evening, which is the Bridgewater Bridge Master Plan. Which is item 14.9. Someone okay to move that be debated? Yep. Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor Whelan. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Councillor Murta.
I request if 14.6 can be brought forward.
Thank you. Councillor Murta has requested that item 14.6 be brought forward, and we'll do that at item 12.3, if that's in agreement. That has been moved by Councillor Murtagh, seconded by Councillor Owen. Is there any debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 12 is reports from committees, and item 12.1 is a Community Development Committee held on the 7th of November. There's a recommendation. The recommendation of the Community Development Committee be adopted. Any discussion or debate?
No discussion, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to move.
Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor Geard. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 12.2 is the Finance Committee. That the recommendation of the Finance Committee meeting held on the 7th of November is submitted for Council to adoption, and the recommendation is to adopt those recommendations. Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Whelan. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. We'll now move on to item 14.6. Item 14.6 is just the representatives of the Planning Authority and the Finance Committee. It's been a request from Councillor Murtagh to be included on the Planning Authority and also the Finance Committees.
I'll move it.
Yep, thank you. Councillor Geard has moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Owen. Is there any debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. We'll now return to the original agenda order. Item 13 is Council acting as a planning authority. I'd like to remind everyone, under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, in accordance with Regulation 25 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations in 2015, the Council will act as a planning authority in respect to those matters appearing under item 13 on this agenda, inclusive of any supplementary items. Item 13.1 is the development application for a storage warehouse at 1 Letitia Grove in Bridgewater. I'll hand over to David for an explanation. Thank you.
Mayor. So this one is an application for a storage warehouse at 1 Letitia. This application was put up to the 3rd of October meeting but held over at the applicant's request and agreed to by the Planning Authority. During that time, we have got updated plans which address some more parking concerns, but one of the key concerns of the application was use, and we didn't get any further information in regards to that except for the original submission was signed and dated. So the proposed warehouse includes an office but is intended just for storage and has no sales to the public, and the storage use is discretionary. The office's assessment was that when we consider a discretionary use, we need to take the zone purpose into our assessment, and we thought that it doesn't further the zone purpose in that it does compromise the activity centre hierarchy and doesn't encourage pedestrian activity in that it has no public sales and limited office space. Further discretionary use that council officers don't support is around the discretionary use standards. So the assessment found that the application did not meet the discretionary use standards, which largely relate to the use not distorting or compromising the activity centre hierarchy. The activity centre hierarchy is something that comes out of the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy. Bridgewater is a major activity centre in Strillis. And the role of the major activity centre is clearly for local provision of convenience, goods and services, as well as community facilities. The focus is on retailing and a range of office-based employment and professional and personal services. The proposed warehouse provides no local service and is inconsistent with the major activity centre's role. We also take into consideration the Cofeel local area objectives, and that requires large format retailing and local support services, but like I said, there's no retail component for this application. The applicant had argued that there are similar existing uses in the area and therefore this use would be complementary. This argument is not supported by council planning officers, in that rather the use would further compromise the role of the activity centre and those uses that have been there for some time. The performance criteria also has regard to encouraging activity at pedestrian level. This will not be achieved without any retail component to the development. So the proposal is not considered to satisfy the discretionary use performance criteria. There's also other standards that weren't satisfied, one in relation to traffic generation and the vehicle crossing, and couldn't be satisfied based on the information that we received. There's deficient information about vehicle movements and turning paths entering the site. That information wasn't provided. So council engineers didn't support the current layout, but probably something that could be resolved. Council engineers also found that the stormwater treatment proposed lacked detail and did not demonstrate that it could meet its treatment targets or be maintained and operate effectively. So the recommendation is for refusal on six grounds as specified on page 37.
Thank you, David. Councillors, I'll open the floor for any questions. Councillor Whelan, you have the floor.
Chairman, I'm probably going to jump around a fair bit here. If I could start, Callum, with you. There was two engineering requirements that were yet to be met. Normally we'd see those things, we wouldn't advertise a development until we were fairly certain that we could move forward and look at those, and generally those engineering requirements are solutions are sought by between you as the engineer and the engineer for the applicant at a later stage after planning approval. Mm-hmm. Do you think both those concerns can be addressed in the normal process after, if there was planning approval?
Yeah, so just kind of further adding to what Dave has already put in there, but they're probably not something that is insurmountable if the permit was approved and something that we could potentially resolve later down the track if that were the case. On the basis that there are other grounds for refusal, it's still important that they're listed, I guess, is amongst the others.
Yeah. So jumping to you, David, you were happy to advertise, given that we could potentially move forward? if it was approved, that we could find a solution engineering-wise for
that? Yeah, my understanding is that the that ground is actually as a result of the new information that we received during that period where it was deferred.
To enable it to be advertised?
So after the last, when it was put on the council meeting agenda, that we got more information around traffic and things like that, and that is where the new discretion has come out. So it was advertised, and then there's more information being provided after advertised.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about a site that's been sort of vacant for 34 years.
Michael, can I just interrupt? Can I hear a mobile phone or something?
There's something that was downloaded on here.
Might be outside.
Could be the air vent.
Yeah, sorry. I've just sort of heard feedback, sorry.
So a long-term vacant site. Try and get my... and a warehouse is discretionary in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So when we talk about the general business zone local area objectives, generally, although it's a pretty small part of the scheme, we've split that zone into three areas. So we've got Brighton, Cofuel, and Greenpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, Greenpoint is the area where we have our community activities, civic centre, and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yep.
Then we move to Brighton, which is sort of a regional commercial site. So small time, the IGA, the pub, that sort of thing serves that regional area. Mm-hmm. Then when we go to Cofuel, it's those larger sort of Lego box type developments, the larger supermarkets, the furniture stores, the disposal clothing, that sort of thing.
Yep.
So from the point of view of a discretionary use, which it is in all three of those areas, which site is best suited to a warehouse, to a storage?
Industrial.
That's what Councillor Geard said there, is it would be most suited to an industrial site without any access to the public.
We've got the Tasmanian Planning Scheme saying that a storage should be discretionary in any of those areas on that zone. When you look at the local provision schedule, it talks about larger, specifically retail and support services. Now, my understanding is that referring to support services for those uses, as opposed to what you're saying is a community support, as in a doctor or something. It's support services for the activities that we would like to have in that zone, in that particular area of that zone.
Yeah, I understand, I think, where you're coming from, but I guess when we look at the local area objective, it talks about big box retailing and then things supporting the big box retailing. I would say that this is not retailing, it is purely storage. But the retailing actually is occurring in another location.
Yeah, but the only thing that would support, for example, a furniture store is a furniture warehouse. The only thing that's going to support a clothing store is clothing warehouse. Like it directly says support services to the users.
Yep. But
we're not talking about community. We're not talking about community uses. We're not talking about churches and doctors or childcare centres, that sort of thing. We're talking about support services for the retail activity.
Yep. Yeah, I understand that. But there's no retail activity occurring on this site.
No. But we need. That's not to say that we can't have a warehouse to support that activity. And it wouldn't be, and it wouldn't say that if it was, for example, to be a. It would say warehouse discretionary because that's the larger part of the development that's going to occur. And support services wouldn't be included in that objective unless that's what it was trying to provide for. So effectively, the Cofuel local area doesn't provide for the medical centre across the road, doesn't provide for the childcare centre, doesn't provide for the church. Nearly every one of those, all the boat service, every one of those uses doesn't comply with that objective. We've got a lot of uses up there which have probably come in over many a year. None of them comply with an objective you're trying to provide, except possibly a warehouse for a furniture.
I'm not sure I follow.
Michael, can I ask a question sort of from what you've indicated? I mean, I would imagine that a warehouse, in particular for... Coles have a warehouse, which provides for the use of their supermarket. Vinnie's have a warehouse or an office area where they receive second-hand goods to sort and to put them into their front things. And probably just a question is that the statewide planning scheme came into effect 18 months, 2 years ago. Majority of those particular developments that were sort of mentioned were actually in place prior to the implementation of the statewide planning scheme. And I get where you're coming from, Michael, in regards to that use of a warehouse for a retail, and we actually have that at Coles. They have a warehouse which receives their goods into that back area and then distributes it to their front area. I suppose this development has a warehouse, but it doesn't have that retail side to it that is indicated in the report. Does that sort of... I'm just sort of seeking clarification because it seemed like we're at a bit of a deadlock. David, do you want to comment?
I think what we're trying to encourage in this area is to get that pedestrian activity and that retailing component to it. So this warehouse had a display room or something associated with it at pedestrian level and invited the public into it, then it would be much more acceptable and would be more consistent with the standards. I think what you're saying, Mayor, around the off-site warehouse... for like Coles, which is like that big warehouse that doesn't have a retailing component, that would be better suited into a, which is what we're talking about today, would be better suited in an industrial area where it is purely warehousing. But I guess what we're doing through the local area objectives in Cofield is to try to encourage that sort of CBD pedestrian activity, and by providing a warehouse that has no public component to it, we're not encouraging that at all.
Can I ask a question?
Councillor Rowell.
Given what's been said, if this development had a 6 square metre place that said sales, it would be approved.
I don't know about a 6 square metre place.
Well,
but if it had a component that invited the public in and was a bit of a display area, then it would be something that we would look at again.
It's got to meet the other ones too.
Just while I'm sort of having a sort of got the floor, Mr. Mayor, if I may please, I just find it a little bit disappointing that after 35 years of non-development up there, we got the opportunity to start the development, and we're not seeking that. It was advertised and there were no reps. And I'm just, the question is now, I guess, if the recommendation is not supported, what happens? It's lost.
General Manager?
Sorry, Chair.
If it's not supported, someone will need to put an alternative motion.
No, if they don't put an alternative motion, it's just... It's
no decision.
And what happens then?
Well, then we're liable for not making a decision under Looper.
General Manager, is it possible if the original one wasn't supported, an approval was for and conditions to be drafted by, for example, yourself and maybe the chairperson of the planning authority? Is that suitable?
Yes. No. I think that you'd probably be... I think you'd need to word it as... An approval and conditions to be drafted by the planning and engineering team. That's my personal view as the experts in the field.
I can understand a refusal is a completely different scenario, and the reasons need to be fairly specific, but maybe an approval, given that we put faith in you or maybe an independent planner to if it was to occur.
I don't know if you guys have any comments, but I mean, it's in your hands, but I think what you need to bear in mind is it needs to be a defendable decision. It needs to have, if there is a permit, it needs to have been drafted by, as the Act says, suitably qualified persons, which is not councillors. So we just have to be mindful of those criteria in making a decision.
And the only statutory requirements of us as a planning authority, and I'll note this on page 12, is any alternative decision requires a full statement of reasons to comply with the Judicial Review Act 2000 and the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. So we do certainly have to document any alternative decision other than the recommendation by council staff with a full statement of reasons why we have not agreed with that particular recommendation, if that makes sense to everyone.
Yeah, and I think just to jump in again, thinking through it, I think you'd be in the position of having to engage an independent consultant. You then run the risk of whether they agree with council's position or planners. I don't think we can be in a position where planners have given their professional opinion and their interpretation of the scheme. We certainly can't direct professional staff to change their opinion, change their professional assessment.
Dave, what sort of time frame do we have left on?
I believe the decision's required by the end of this week.
It could be 7 days, is that right?
Yeah. Sorry, I'd have to look at that.
I'm thinking on the fly here a little bit, so I don't think this has come up before, but I think we could probably word a motion if council choose to move another motion to approve it. We could potentially engage consultant, which could be private, it could be through another council. And the brief could effectively be, it's approved, you need to provide appropriate conditions. The decision's already made by council. But, yeah, we would need sufficient time and an extension of time to be able to achieve that.
Just a thought. Councillor, it'd be nice to know where the rest of the table sits. You know, there's two people sort of angling for an outcome that's not the one that's before
recommended.
It.
Yes,
and it'd be a waste of time to, you know, it'd be nice for some to ask a question to give it an idea.
I'd like to keep the questions coming so that we can all be fully informed. And if there's any further questions, I'd call on those. I have a quick one, David, for you in regards to the hierarchy of decision-making processes in regards to the planning scheme. How far up is the zone purpose in regards to that particular hierarchy of decision-making?
It's probably more around the discretionary use, the performance criteria that don't satisfy it. There's a section in the planning scheme at the front that says when making your considerations, you should have what you should consider the zone purpose and your objectives and local area objectives as well. So I think the performance criteria is really of the discretionary use standards is really the basis of it, and we've had consideration of those other things in making our decision.
Yep, so there is certainly a direction from the in the statewide planning scheme that we should take into account the zone purpose in regards to making a decision.
That's right, yeah.
Further questions, please?
I don't have any questions, but I guess to Councillor Owen's point of making my position known, I guess my greatest concern is...
If you like, I'm happy to suspend standing orders if people think that that is appropriate at this point in time, so we can have an open discussion. Okay. So I can't allow anything other than questions. So if someone would like to move that we suspend standing orders. Michael moved, sorry, Councillor Whelan, we've moved that suspend standing orders. Seconded by Councillor Owen. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Aaron.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good to keep me on my toes. I guess my only concern, or my main concern with this, is that it is a discretionary use. It could go on this land without too much concern, and there would have to be no changes to the structure of the building to make it comply, other than the fact that they would need some public sales space. So I guess for me, it complies with everything else other than the fact that it's a storage warehouse rather than a retail outlet with a storage warehouse. We have a number of other uses in that area already where there are large car parks, people are driving there, stopping, getting out, going inside the building, coming out, getting back in their car. I'm afraid it looks like the horse has bolted already on the accessibility aspect of having street-based pedestrians. And I guess given the discussion that's occurred tonight, I'm of a mind to support a motion to approve.
Comments? Sorry, I apologise.
So my understanding is the proponents, as opposed to being a retail site where people off street will come in and buy their furniture, they supply for a larger scale, a commercial scale, a government scale. So they do sell their furniture, but they're not likely to have someone walk off the street and buy it unless they're by appointment. It's their sales there, but it's a counter sale. They have catalogues. They provide that service, just not to me and you, probably to council.
Yeah, to Councillor Del Torre's point, I think in regards to the horse bolting, like if we want to change an area to make it a pedestrian-friendly area by approving developments like this, it's never going to happen. It's, you know, the planning scheme is trying to encourage a particular outcome, and that's what we're trying to do. And I think, again, if by approving something like this, you're just setting a precedent to do it again and again and again, and you will always have a car-based community. I think if you look at, you know, Greenpoint's probably a good example where you do get a lot more pedestrian activity and things. There is obviously lots of cars, but the uses down there do have a lot more pedestrian activity, and I think that's something we need to see more of in Cofield. Yeah.
Can I just say that given that the other businesses or uses were there before the planning scheme changed, does make a difference to the outcome of this. And I think that given that there are 9 very good reasons for not approving this, I think we would be doing... As you say, if we approve this and then the next block they want to put in another storage unit, then we are going against what that our new planning scheme is wishing for, which is more retail space, more user, more people wandering around, and more retail interactive space, which you don't get with a storage unit.
Just touch on some comments from Councillor Della Torre in regards to the nature of Kōpū in particular. The requirements of the planning scheme require us to request car spaces for every development and a certain number. So it's very hard for council. On occasions we do approve developments that don't have the required number of car spaces, but we have situations that are a little bit different in each different area. But certainly the planning scheme as it stands has a requirement to provide car spaces depending on the number of square metres of any particular development. Council can accept an offer of less. Council can accept money in regards to car spaces instead of a person supplying the legislated correct amount as per the scheme. So I think Cove Hill in particular probably has, I think, probably an abundance of car spaces more than what is currently there. But further development is taking place in that particular precinct over the next 12 months that will probably bring it back to having only the required number of spaces for those developments. It's just a comment. As I said, standing orders are suspended, so just offering that as a partial explanation in regards to the nature of Cove Hill as it stands at the moment. Councillors, you have the floor. Yes. Is yours, Councillor Gere?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I just mentioned about, probably the horse is bolted, but I disagree with that because, two wrongs don't make a right. We've got, for instance, Brighton, that's a commercial area. We've got houses there. So we're still not stopping, doing commercial things. So we've really got to look at an area for a long-term aspect. And there are so many points here that I've not seen one on the list, but knocked someone back on so many actually points on this. This is probably the most I've seen for a long time. So I agree if it had a warehouse, something at the front where it's on display, even though maybe people down from the street can't get it, maybe it'd make it more acceptable. But really, for anything, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care who the person is or anyone, if any of my relatives or whatever was putting something like that stuck in the middle of Brighton or in the middle of Bridgewater, I'd say no, it's not appropriate for where it is. It should go in another area. So, so that's just my view. There's just so many points here that are so negative.
I'm going to sort of touch on Councillor Whelan's comments in regards to the engineering things. They're in there to back up, in my opinion, the decision that staff have made in regards to it. If this was being recommended for approval, those particular points would be covered by the permit, as you indicated, Councillor Whelan, that there would be discussion between the engineering department and the developer to ensure that they complied with the requirements under the scheme.
Yeah, that's correct.
So not all of those A through F are defendable because we could permit a development with a requirement to cover those particular issues that council staff have identified. So, Councillor Whelan, if that sort of touches on what you said earlier, in that not everyone is a reason for absolute refusal. It is an add-on to the more pertinent points in point A and B in regards to the refusal.
I've been probably a thorn in his side as well with the plan, but this is one time I think it's a little bit different. So,
I'll give us another 30 seconds if anyone's got any more points. Otherwise, we'll reinstate standing orders and we'll enter debate. You may. Go for your life.
You go first. I was just going to mention.
I think after 34 years, we shouldn't sort of be turning away a development which, for all intents and purposes, looks pretty flash for what we're going to find compared to most in Bridgewater, Gagebrook, that area. So, or anywhere in our municipality, effectively. So, I think we need to embrace some development with pretty much zero level of risk. We've got a developer proponent with it's putting a good development up. We've got no representations after it was advertised. The risk only is between us and the proponent, and they're as keen as mustard, I would assume. They've gone a long way into providing a development on that site, and I think we can, as council, we can bring it together and make it work.
Thank you.
I was just going to, I guess, his commentary on potential pathway in your decision there. So, obviously not foreshadowing which way a vote will go on the existing motion, but I wanted to, I guess, suggest an alternative motion if it goes that way that's workable, would be that Council approves DA 2023-58 and Council's General Manager to engage an external planning consultant to provide appropriate permit conditions and seek a suitable extension of time from the applicant to allow that to be prepared.
Jump in there.
Yes.
Because we're just talking about use, I don't see any reason why we can't draft conditions.
I agree with you, but I don't want to be in a position where people feel there's any lack of independence or anything like that. So it's just my view that to be on the safe side and no one feel that there's any issues. I agree, I don't think there is any conflict, but my view is that's probably
a liaison.
It's tidier, and it protects our
protects the staff.
May I ask a question?
You may, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, if this were to be approved, and then given what, under the planning scheme and what we have our idea of what we want this to look like in the future, so if we approve this tonight, then on the next agenda we have another proposal for another warehouse, then we are almost bound to accept that. So if, as you said before, David, if we approve this one, we are setting a precedent. We could end up with a whole area of storage units which don't comply with the use of this area. They don't comply with what Council's objectives of this area are. But if we say yes to one, then you can't say no to another. So I think we're putting ourselves into a very awkward situation if we do go down the approval path.
Thanks, Councillor Curran. If there's nothing, Councillor De La Torre.
Sorry, one final question from me. Are there any other developments on those vacant blocks in Letitia Grove that have been approved but not started yet?
Not that I'm aware of. There's one on advertising at the moment, but that's the only one.
Can you fill me in on what that is for?
It is a cultural facility for a place of worship.
Oh, God.
We could have two similar uses in that area that they're only effectively open one day a week and provide no community benefit during the other 6 days or benefit to the hierarchy of the activities in that area.
Suppose, Michael, that it's consistent with the zone purpose in that it's a community facility.
It's actually
and that includes religious places of religious workshop.
It's a permitted use of the cultural facility.
And some get used every day, depends on religion.
It's very important to publish.
Councillors, I am cognizant of time. I think that there's nothing further that can be added with in regards to this. We should probably get back to normal meeting procedures and debate the particular issue if there's some move and seconders for particular motions. Councillor Owen, you prepared to move that we move back into resume standing orders?
Yes.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor De La Torre. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you. Councillors, we have a recommendation presented by staff on page 37 for refusal of development application 2023-0058. Is someone prepared to move that recommendation or propose an amended or an alternate recommendation? And I will note that any recommendation alternative to the one on our agenda item requires a full statement of reasons to comply with the Judicial Reviews Act 2000. Sorry. Councillors, I'm in your hands. Thank you. Recommendation on page 37 has been moved by Councillor Curran. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Gibb. Councillor Curran, you have the floor.
Well, as I said when we were asking with outstanding orders, I think we're setting a very dangerous precedent, and it's not the objective for this area. So I really think I've said it all. I just don't think that this is appropriate. If it had part of the development that was open to the public and created a pedestrian access, people moving around, I think it would be different. But there are too many reasons here to not to accept it.
Thank you. Anyone like to speak against the motion? Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I certainly think that Council should embrace a development in this site after so long. I think that as a discretionary use, we can clearly move forward with an approval, and the objectives which are discussed in the motion certainly don't comply, in my opinion, given that that the area is set aside for commercial activity and uses that support that commercial activity, and I think we should look to approve the development if there is an alternative motion.
Thank you, Councillor Whelan.
Just to clarify, I'd be prepared to second that. The reasons for approval, Councillor Whelan, as per the General Manager stated.
Councillor, yes.
Mm-hmm. You're foreshadowing that motion?
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't given any reasons. I've just...
No, you gave a
mechanism.
Gave a way
you
to
probably need
the
to
pathway.
Add your own reasons.
Yep.
All right.
And just for a point of clarification, I'm happy to suspend this particular meeting whilst you put together those reasons, because I don't want us to be put at risk in regards to those. I'd like to see that is done in a reasonably professional and accurate manner. So I'm happy to do that at that point if this particular motion, as we are debating now, is unsuccessful. Councillor Gear, do you wish to speak for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll ditto what Councillor Curran said. With a number of objectives here that, the as I mentioned before, I normally don't always side with the planners, so I usually... there's a number of objectives here. I just think it can't be overridden. And what happened in the past would happen in the past. That's the new planning scheme comes in, and we want to make this place... We're trying to make that area right through there that sort of a centrepiece for that area. So, and I think without some sort of... facade on the front where they've got things on display or something like that, it's just another building, and it's in the wrong area as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I totally agree, the building is a beautiful looking building, we've got no questions with that, and the company involved has got no worries with that whatsoever, but just I think it's the wrong area. So that's the only reason I'm sticking my guns, nothing to do with anything else, just for that reason.
Thank you, Councillor Gidd. Any other councillors wish to speak for or against the motion? I will speak. I'll be voting for this particular motion as moved and as per the recommendation. There are some clear definitions within the planning scheme in regards to what we need to consider when we are looking at development applications. And I can read directly from the reasons for refusal is in regard to the zone purpose. Does not provide business, retail, administrative, professional, community or entertainment functions. Compromise the activity centre hierarchy, and obviously does not encourage activity at pedestrian levels. I too concur with some of Councillor Whelan's comments and Councillor Owen's in that I too would like this development to proceed, but I believe that the zoning... and particularly the zone purpose, as we've heard tonight from our staff, doesn't fit with that particular development application. I'd love to see this development go places within our community and within our municipality. but I feel that there is an issue in regards to putting it where this is proposal is looking at, and I would prefer to see it obviously in an appropriately zoned area for a warehouse, which is probably more the industrial estate. And just to comment on a few things or comments that have been made, the industrial estate took 20 plus years to take off. This area at Cove Hill has an opportunity to take off. When that will be, I'm not sure. Hopefully it's next week, next month, next year, and not in 10 or 20 years' time. But as per the zone purpose, if we approve something that doesn't fit that zone purpose at this point in time, it doesn't allow that particular zone to have the freedom to develop in the way that the planning scheme indicates it should in the future. Thank you. Any further comments from councillors before I put this to a vote? If there's no further comments, we have a recommendation for refusal as documented on page 37. It's been moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Geard. I'll ask for a show of hands when we vote, if I may, please. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Aye. Aye. Against? Four are against. John, you're not a member. So that motion is lost. Councillors, you now have an opportunity to put an alternative motion.
I hope they get it right.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Whelan.
Please.
Is it possible we could have a recess for sort of 10 or 15 minutes to get some reason behind that?
I am happy to just touch with the General Manager in regards to procedure. I need a mover and a seconder to adjourn the meeting.
Yep.
Can I... we're in a planning authority, so... can I ask for someone to move that this meeting be adjourned? Moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor Murtagh. I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. I'll adjourn the meeting for a period of 15 minutes.